Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Here we go. Hey, welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
I'm Jessica Villaboni.
And we are joined today by comic book writer Jason McNamara. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here.
Welcome to my office. Well, I didn't have to go far.
That's right. You're joining us from all the way in sunny Oregon. Is it sunny there? Is it raining?
It's a little wet today, but in general, lately, it's been sunny.
It's been sunny. Yeah. Jacob, I like how you looked out the window to check if it was raining in Oregon.
Oh, well, I was just like, oh, maybe we'll talk about weather in Oakland, too. I don't know. And I was getting ready. I like to prepare before the podcast.
Right, of course.
For my weather chit-chat.
So
anyway,
see, this is supposed to be better because we're like looking at each other,
right? We could like communicate better, whatever. This is for those of you listening, because I imagine we'll be releasing the video. We're doing this one over Zoom, so we can see each other like we normally do when we're recording a podcast live, but we're still going to be stepping over each other's words because we are not ready for this new world yet. We're not there.
Never going to be ready. No. I thought we could release the video. I thought it'd be fun.
No, that's a no on the video.
No, I thought we would.
I moisturized.
I put makeup on.
Yeah, we're releasing this video, bro. 2-1.
We're totally releasing it.
I would have picked a better Zoom background. This is fake. This isn't actually where I am.
Jazz hands for releasing the video.
All right. Oh, but look at my fingers. Oh my God. My nails actually came off today and it's horrible. I'm actually.
You just voted to release the video.
Yeah. Are you back on audio, Jess?
No. We're going to do it.
Okay.
You can all see my terrible nails today. Oh, it's so bad. It's really.
That's what we'll get the audience. That's what gets return listeners.
It's really happening.
So, what was the, where are we at? What's new in comics?
I haven't
been paying attention to the news.
Oh, there's nothing new in comics.
There's nothing new.
Nothing's happening. Oh, wait, no, we haven't. Did we talk about DC yet?
I don't believe we did. We should talk about it.
We should. DC went off on its own and decided to distribute comics through Midtown and Lunar Distribution.
They are bypassing Diamond. Jumping out of the Monopoly into a real Scrabble. They don't have a clue what's going on.
Yeah. And so people are real mad about it. A lot of retailers are not doing it. They're just saying they love Diamond all of a sudden. And so that's the big news in comics. We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the retailers are apparently upset because they haven't put it out. DC's not giving them the books that they want.
Well, that too. Yeah. It's a bunch of crap the first week. And like second printings of Nightwing and third printings of Batman 89. The first appearance of that Joker girlfriend or whatever. Joker's new girlfriend.
Oh, Punchline.
Punchline. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you think about all this?
Like you're talking Klingon.
You don't care what DC's doing?
That's not going to get me out of the house. Like, you want me to risk my life or something? It's not going to be a second printing.
No.
Hill House books have been...
Yeah, the Hill House books are coming out.
Hill House books have been good, but they haven't been catch COVID good.
No, and it's Daphne Byrne, too. It's like the one that nobody cares about, really.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, writer of Daphne Byrne.
Sorry, Daphne.
Sorry.
Apologies to Daphne. R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P., Daphne. I think people are just impatient. Like, the world's going to open up again. You know, like, let's just take a deep breath. It sucks. We're all broke. We're all losing money.
Yeah.
I've had many an uncomfortable email exchange with my landlords. RIP my credit rating. But what are you going to do? Right. This isn't like a mistake that I made, which is normally the case, or, you know, the whole world is pig fucked. So take a deep breath and let it be pig fucked.
Yeah.
And honestly, what we really need is, like, you know, the rents to be paused, mortgages to be paused, you know?
Yeah.
We're sort of like getting a glimpse into what it must have been like. Because, you know, I view everything through the lens of comic books. I think about the blip in Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, you realize what a bureaucratic nightmare that must have been.
Yeah.
To come back 5 years later and have, like, your credit be like, well, you weren't making car payments. Like, motherfucker, I was in Thanos' pinky ring. Like, so let's just all agree that we're in Thanos' pinky ring for a couple months and just chill out. Like, the money will be there. If everyone agreed to pause, we'd be fine, right? The banks would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't be like, yeah, just give me a mulligan for a couple months.
I never thought about that in Avengers Endgame. Like, you weren't making your house payments for 5 years and then you came back and they're like, it's been 5 years. You lost your house. Yeah. You no longer have your apartment. You no longer have your car. You literally have nothing.
And your kids call somebody else dad. Let's make it dark, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's someone else, like, married to your wife now. Like, this would be highly disruptive and catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't wait around for you. It's been 5 years. You've been declared dead. Yeah.
It's harder to visualize that on a big, but that's, like, to me, like, the fan fiction. I want the tie-in novel.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of really good story ideas that Marvel doesn't have the balls to pull the trigger on.
Yeah, you know, if only they would listen to us, they might be successful.
No, really, I was talking to my friend about this. Interestingly, we were talking about this today, how, like, that was such a huge, weird thing. Half the life on Earth just disappears and then comes back. And the only movie we've seen, the Spider-Man movie, they're like, it's fine. People are like, some people are older. We're still going to go to Europe, and Europe's the same.
Right.
Everyone disappeared after 5 years. Someone would have rioted and, like, attacked the Eiffel Tower or something. But no, everything's just back to normal.
You just have Jake Gyllenhaal being a kind of shitty villain. I don't like that decision.
The Jake Gyllenhaal decision?
The Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah, I didn't like that. Did you like that?
Mysterio?
Yeah, I didn't like him as Mysterio.
It was telegraphed. Like, you knew, like, look, Peter Parker is really quick to take his mask off and tell everyone, like, he's really trusting and just always giving his secret identity away. Like, why even have it, bro?
Oh, yeah.
But I actually got thrown out of that movie for threatening to beat people for talking.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. So I had to go back to my hotel and watch the rest of it from somewhere else. from a dark source. Yeah, this couple wouldn't stop talking, and I said, "I'm gonna eat your kids." So I was thrown out by three quarters. But he's a great Spider-Man. But
he's a great Spider-Man. Yeah.
But they never.
Oh yeah, he's the best.
They solve some of the problem of emoting with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's always takes his mask off, because they're like, "Well, you can't read his face."
Right.
I think if Deadpool has shown us anything, like, leave the mask on. Like, we want the mask.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know you paid a lot for that actor, and he does a lot of his own stunts, but, like, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't dream of being Tom Holland. I wanted to be Spider-Man.
Right, exactly.
That mask on.
Now I kind of dream of being Tom Holland.
Well, you're 20 years old.
That's right, it's true, yeah. I just want that body, man.
Wow, it's that kind of podcast.
He's really fit.
I want you to have that body.
Yeah.
We're going to do a GoFundMe so you can get your hands on that sweet, sweet Holland body.
I mean,
like, he's the first Spider-Man who doesn't look like he's 40 years old, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire was always, like, smelling something bad in the room. The look on his face was always like, ooh, he's in a cheese shop.
And he's the first Spider-Man to intentionally do a Queens accent.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made him a New Yorker. Like, he's part of the
kind of dropped it. Like, I went back and watched Civil War, and it's like, he really, really sound, and the first Homecoming. But then the other movies, they sort of, like, I think that Tom Holland's so used to being American now that he doesn't really do it anymore. But, like, when it was Andrew Garfield, which everyone's forgotten about those movies, the Andrew Garfield ones.
Who?
He wasn't quite done being British yet.
Uh-huh.
So you could still hear it flare up. Like, he's never said, bodega. It's not a word that British people say. He can't say bodega right. It sounds, it does not, yeah.
Well, how do they say woulda? That's what you really got to listen for.
Mm-hmm. Woulda.
That's something we can never lose. Coffee, woulda. I got to get a bagel and a beer. Mm-hmm. A coffee light and sweet, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Memories.
I've got a few. I haven't drank them all away. Working on it, though.
Well, Jason, let's talk about your books.
Thank God.
I know,
enough
right?
of DC. Where are those guys going? Let's stick with a winner. Let's stick with a middle-aged ginger making books in his basement.
And you have one coming out. When is that? When am I getting that? It's coming.
I'm getting it today. I might get the books delivered while we're on this call, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right.
And so, but don't act like they're late, because my goal was June.
Okay.
That was the Kickstarter goal is June, but I'm getting them today. And then there's some issues with getting Greg's signature on them because he's locked at home.
Yeah.
And I'm locked here, and his wife is very pregnant, and we're not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Greg.
Congratulations. Yeah. So his greatest creation will come out in June, early June. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean a child.
Oh, not this book.
Not this book, no.
Okay.
He probably thinks more of his offspring than the book. To me, the book is the best thing I've ever done.
Right.
But I don't have kids.
Okay.
I have dogs.
So let's talk about the title of this book. This book is called Nocturnal Commissions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about the title.
Do you not like the title?
No, I just want to know where it came from.
Do you really want me to?
Yes, I do.
Okay, absolutely. When a young boy is growing up, like you're Tom Holland. Young Tom Holland. We wanted something that was cheeky, like that. A good title should tell you like the tone of the book, mm-hmm. and how you should feel before you pick it up, right? Because you have such a short window to make an impression on people. So if I tell you I'm doing a book called Nocturnal Commissions, it's either going to be a comedy, or it's going to be the type of book that you don't sell at Escapist Comics.
Wait a minute.
It's either going to be blue, or it's just going to be cheeky and fun and sort of lighthearted romp, which mm-hmm. is what we wanted. And I won't let go of a good pun for a title. Titles are hard.
I usually
like short titles. Mm-hmm. I think Lemmy from Motorhead said the best band names are one word.
Agreed.
Right. All my books are like Sucker, The Rattler, The Cicada. They're all like short, punchy, stabby things. But Nocturnal Commissions, I wanted a title like Moonlighting. I wanted something that gave you the idea of a detective agency, mm-hmm. Of people that were like bad at being detectives.
And so there's three characters. Mm-hmm. The zombie character mm-hmm. comes up with the title.
It was the title of his masterpiece album that he never got to record.
Right. Yes. I don't want to like spoil too much of the book while we're talking about it, obviously. Because we're going to have the book. We're going to have the book in the show.
Zombie even appearing is like a cool twist, like halfway through the first issue.
But you kind of mm-hmm. have to. It's the band getting together. It's like the origin story of this group. So you sort of have to give people that as the hook.
So give us the pitch of the book.
Nocturnal Commissions is a day job for night people when a werewolf, a zombie, and a vampire open a detective agency. X-Files meets Monster Squad.
And a little bird told me, originally this book was going to be pitched to Marvel. And it was, right? It was Morbius and Werewolf by Night. Who was the third guy?
Simon Garth, the zombie. Yeah, they never use him.
That was the one that like Stan Lee and it was like is that Simon Garth, the one?
It's the oldest
like zombie, right?
Yeah, it's like one of the oldest Marvel characters. It predates Marvel. It's a timely character. Right.
Yeah, it was like that black and white book.
He pops up like every 10 years. I don't really do anything with him. He shows up in like a Peter Parker annual. And I thought, if you're going to pitch Marvel, you don't start off saying like, I got a great Thor story or this. You're like, who are they not using?
Right.
So Greg and I came up with all these like occult characters that they weren't using at all.
Right.
And then, you know, the Morbius movie got it like the same week we pitched.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be a shit show.
Yeah. I had done some consulting work that brought me to the Marvel offices. So I had actually been in the room with them and met some of them. And I thought, I'm here. This is my childhood dream. I'm in New York, can I send you something? You know, they were nice and they looked at it. But I don't think they take, just for everyone listening, they don't take unsolicited pitches from people in the comics world.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... The editor I talked to was like, I think I've seen this happen like three times in 20 years.
Really?
Somebody from the outside. And it would be like, you know, Mark Millar be like, oh, I got a great idea for Ghostwriter. You know what I mean?
And
like,
sure. Right.
We'll put Mark Millar and it's going to sell. So I thought maybe that would get Greg and I, you know, like an 8-page backup and like the worst selling Marvel book you ever heard of.
I don't know. That Morbius book that's out right now is pretty fucking bad. So
I don't even know that there is one.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. So
sell one copy.
So Greg just got as far as a cover. And I wrote an outline and a series pitch. And, you know, we were going to bring in Man-Wolf and have like this rivalry between Jack Russell and Man-Wolf. Mm-hmm. And Jack Russell was going to change his name to Jackson because he was sick of being called Jack Russell, like the dog. Like he went to Burning Man and came back. He's like, no, my name is Jackson. And they were just going to be, it was going to be similar, but you know.
Yeah.
Once we didn't get back to them, I was like, Greg, okay, we could do these other projects. And he's like, you know, what if we just tweaked it and made it our own thing? You know, I'm like, the werewolf is pretty generic. It's not really Werewolf by Night. Not that anyone could even tell you what his character is like.
Yeah.
No one has any familiarity with the zombie. We'll change the zombie, and we did, to make it look more of like a Dee Dee Ramone, Johnny Thunders zombie.
Yeah.
And then the Morbius, we just got rid of the Morbius and made him a vampire with albinism, which you don't really see. So like, okay, so now we have three really unique characters that are even unique among their own species subset. So then what is the book about? So if you've got like an albino vampire, a zombie that can control others, the recently deceased, and we'll get more into the werewolf character later if we get the chance. He's got his own unique story where he's hated by all the other werewolves. So all these people are loners among loners, and who doesn't really sympathize with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
all do. So the book then became more of like, how do these different factions, these different communities work together? How do we mend... sort of like the vitriolic splintering of communities that we all sort of experience every day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a fun monster romp, but deep at the heart of it, it's about like, can we just problem solve together?
Right.
So that's what we changed. That came together pretty quickly. And Greg and I went to the 40th Halloween convention in Pasadena. I'm a huge Halloween fan. You can probably see my Halloween 3 masks back there. I know, Jessica, you're a big fan of Halloween 3.
Oh, yeah.
And we spent the whole weekend just brainstorming the book. And we have a lot of ideas and things that we want to do with these characters. But it all starts with that first premiere episode, the pilot episode. And that's what this issue is. It's a 40-page, done-in-one pilot episode introducing you to the characters and the world and Greg Hinkle's beautiful, beautiful artwork.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
the designs are great. Everything's right? So cool.
Yeah, you know, the comic book industry... there's something wrong with it when Greg Hinkle can work with me. Like, if I can get a hold of Greg Hinkle to draw my book, you know something's wrong. Because that guy's, like, the best illustrator on the planet.
He's so good. I mean, you guys did The Rattler together. It was just still one of my favorite books.
I have a prop.
You have a prop? Yeah, that book right there.
Nice.
We still have it at The Escapist. Is it still in print?
Nope.
Oh, I'm glad we still have it.
You do.
Yeah.
There's none left. They're all gone. Greg and I bought the last of them probably last year.
Yeah.
And the last copies I have for sale on our Indiegogo page. So you can still pre-order Nocturnal Commissions and get a signed copy of The Rattler, but they're going fast. There's not many of them left. Yeah. I love that book. That was a great collaboration between Greg and I. That was one of those things where I thought like, oh, you know what? I really do like writing comic books. So okay. I sort of segue my career, like all the stuff I did before. And then Greg and I, the collaboration and doing The Rattler and being like, wow, I really, I love making comics. Mm-hmm. So I sort of parsed out like what the metric of success is before and after The Rattler. And now it's just like making the best book I possibly can.
And why do you decide to kickstart them instead of going like straight to a publisher?
Okay, so there are gatekeepers in comics, right? People that say yay or nay. Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, we sent The Rattler to Image before we kickstarted it, and they said no thanks.
Right.
And so we kickstarted it, and they said, hey, this Rattler looks like real good. Why don't we publish it? So it was the same book.
Right.
That they said yes, no to, and then yes to. What had changed in between is that I did it myself. So often when you're pitching a publisher, you're saying this is what I would like to do. If you can do the whole thing yourself and just say yes or no, you'll more likely get a yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was spending months and years just waiting for publishers to say, yeah, we'll do this. I'm not against publishers. I just don't want to have to hinge my entire career on getting a yes from somebody.
Yeah.
So if I could just do it myself and do it through Kickstarter, which I think is a different market than comics, then I'm open to anybody, any publisher republishing my work for the comic book industry. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But if I sat around and waited for that, I would lose all motivation to make comic books.
Yeah.
Right? It has to come from me. I can't get validation from a third party.
Right.
But the books are going to get made whether a publisher says yes or no. The answer is now, like, do you want to put it in the direct market? I've never said no to a publisher.
Right.
I'm a work slut. The answer is always yes. You got a job? Yeah.
So with Nocturnal, obviously the first one has gone out. Your plan is to make more, I imagine.
I hope. Right? You know, we sent it to publishers before we did the Kickstarter, and we never heard from anybody.
Ugh.
We sent it to everybody. No one says anything. So, which is frustrating to me. So I don't know if it's just the industry, if I don't know enough people. My feet are on the ground. I have realistic expectations, but I do feel like Greg and I are doing work that as good or better than work from any indie publisher.
Yeah, for sure.
The Rattler was done all by us. It's as good or as good as anything from any publisher. Like, we're working and producing at a professional level.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the disconnect is.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a terrible networker.
It's so possible. Hard. It's so hard.
I mean, as a creator, it's hard to be good at everything, right?
Yeah, definitely. So,
probably like a year or two ago, I had to say, what can I control? Like, what am I good at and what frustrates me? What I'm good at is working with an artist and producing and writing work on my own. So I'm just going to do that and not worry about the things I can't control. I can't stress about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Ugh, networking.
Yeah.
Literally the worst.
And if you're a creative person, you know, you vacillate between being really shy and introverted and then, you know, these moments of explosive extrovert behavior. But really, you know, it's hard to do both.
Yeah.
And as a creative person, you know, you're asking people to value you on your work, and that can be really heavy.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. When people reject, no one likes being rejected.
No. No, they don't. If you could suddenly be any one of your own creations, which one would it be and why?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you have some crazy characters too.
Honestly, I would probably be the werewolf.
Yeah.
In Nocturnal Commissions, yeah.
He's a shirtless werewolf.
He's no one's favorite. Yeah, I am pretty much a half a werewolf already. I have the, I take my shirt off, I have the Robin Williams sweater. but I would love to like run around under a full moon and just be like, you know, just be a beast and let everybody know, you know what? I'm a beast and I can eat you. I'm not gonna eat you, but just so you know and I know, I can nibble you to pieces.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And on along the same lines, a vampire, a werewolf, and a zombie are all sitting in a bar. Ooh. Who do you have a drink with?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, the zombie.
The zombie?
For absolute
sure. What if he, like, eats your face?
Well, you already put me at a table with these people. I'm assuming they're civilized zombie.
I mean, maybe.
Who do I want to fight?
All of them eat people.
I want to fight you for putting me in a room.
That's true. All three of them. Well, maybe the werewolf doesn't. I don't know. Like, it depends on what lunar cycle we're at.
Well, the vampire drinks blood, so I'm not having a drink with him.
Yeah. But he'd have good stories to tell.
They all would. Yeah, I would sit across from him, though.
Yeah.
I'd give them all a wide berth. He would have a lot of great stories. But our zombie is real dry, though. He's real persnickety. Yeah. He's the opposite of how zombies are normally portrayed. I'm sorry, vampires. Mm-hmm. Where they're all like super hypersexual, dark and brooding. And he's asexual. He's over it. You know what I mean? He's just like, ugh, I only have one eternity. Why would I waste on a romance?
Yeah.
Ram and proper. And he's cheap. We have him living in a rent-controlled apartment for 150 years. Like, he's just a very frugal vampire. We want to do something different with him and not do the wet neon streets, the fangs bare. Like, that's just so, like, ugh.
Right. I like that you're doing something different. And the albinism, that's good, too. Is that so he can walk around during the day, too?
We want to make him unique among them.
Right.
Yeah, my father-in-law has albinism, so talking to him and being like, oh, you know what? Like, I never would have realized all the stuff that you have to go through.
Yeah.
Just on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So, yeah, I thought about that a lot. If you're an outsider among outsiders, Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, my father-in-law was in a biker gang growing up.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah. Never, it blows my mind. Like him riding on a motorcycle, like, you know, like how would you fight a street gang with a guy with albinism? But to me, this is, it's interesting. So, so I wanted to take
that. Was he the only one with albinism, or yeah. Was that like the theme of the gang?
Oh, would that be great?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, no, he was the only one. Oh, okay. But to him, he's like, well, yeah, I had to join the gang for protection because I was just going to get picked on too much.
Sure.
I thought, wow, that's super interesting. I never would have thought of that, you know? So, yeah, finding interesting angles to people and their character. And it's less about the plot mechanics and more like, can you put these three oddballs together and what do they do?
Yeah.
So who would I drink with? I'll drink with anybody. You know this.
That's true.
But I would want to get real close to a zombie and get a real good look at him.
Yeah.
I want to see him take that shot and have it, like, you know, fall out through his guts.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
It's also
learn
your
about
own
anatomy.
You're also confronting your own mortality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, what's it like to be dead?
Yeah.
I already know what it's like to be hairy. I already know what it's like to be pale. What's it like to be dead?
And you have another comic coming out, too, which I actually don't know anything about. I saw you just put the Kickstarter up. Are you going to put the Kickstarter up? Ghost Band.
It's about about the Bay Area.
Oh, cool.
Oh, well,
you guys may have an interest in that.
We do.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a sort of dramatize my experience in the Bay Area, which was getting pushed out, mm-hmm. like this being squeezed out by like all the tech companies and the rents exploding. And I just saw my creative community just be decimated. Like everyone I knew that was making stuff was forced out.
Right.
So I thought, wouldn't it be great to make a comic book with people that also got pushed out? Do a comic book about the Bay Area from people that got pushed out of the Bay Area.
Right.
Almost like these expats looking back. So Ghost Band is about this pandemic that wipes out most of the living people on Earth. There's like a handful of survivors in San Francisco, and they know they have like a day left before they too are wiped out. Mm-hmm. So they decide to make a band and record a song.
Aww.
So they have a day left, so they make art. So it's sort of about making art in the face of a pandemic, about making art in the face of just being pushed out of your community, being, you know, gentrification and just like, where do creative people go?
Right.
We're all being sort of pushed out of our homes.
Yeah.
So it's not so heady. It's an adventurous tale. Like, can these guys get together? Can they collaborate? Can they record a song before they're wiped out? They have like a day left. And the people in the band are being pushed together. They're not friends. They have to work out their differences. And the drummer's deaf and,
oh my God.
Yeah. So it's just sort of fun. I just want to make a book about collaboration. And I wrote it like, you know, a couple of years ago. So it's not a reaction to the current situation.
Right. You're going to be hearing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad timing.
Yeah.
So
there's going to be so many comics about this, like my experience from the pandemic. And like, this is what I was doing, baking bread. And like, can you imagine? Like,
there's going to be like 9 dozen romantic comedies about, we'd only started dating, but then we were quarantined together.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. All the romance comics that are going to come out.
We had to stay 6 feet apart.
Through a screen, we fell in love.
On the other hand, Night of the Living 5G Towers.
God.
I had to follow the chemtrails.
I'll pay to see that. Yeah.
You'll pay to see that? I will not.
It's going to stream at home.
I'd pay to go to one of the rowdy screenings.
I think Kirk Cameron is in that one. Yeah, I want to be the first obnoxious pandemic comic. And the art's been done for months. I'm actually lettering it now. But I think what I'm going to do, because I'm also really worried about the post office.
Oh, yeah.
And my business model is really about shipping stuff. So I think I'm just going to do it digital only.
Okay.
And just release all the issues digitally. And if we still have a post office and I can get to the end of the 4 issues, then I'll do a trade.
Yeah.
And then we will bring it to the Escapist and sign copies.
Yay!
Yeah, the artist I'm working with, Anka Gladnick, they're fantastic. They're really, really good. They have a great illustrative style, so they've done work for NPR and NBC, and they're just a great, great commercial illustrator, and they don't do a lot of comic work, so I'm sort of excited to get them out there.
Cool.
Well, it's actually, you know, it's a really good time to have new floppies or a new graphic novel because people want new content right now.
Right.
I'm selling, like, you know, that company TKO, I think you posted about them too.
Yeah.
I sold so much of that in the last few weeks because we didn't carry them before. And then they started, you know, I was like, well, I need something new in the store. And I brought it in and I sold, especially of Sentient, that Jeff Lemire book, I sold out of it.
Really?
Fantastic book.
This is so good too.
Okay. Well, let me ask you for advice on, since I'm getting copies of Nocturnal Commissions today.
Yeah.
I did order an extra 900 copies so I could sell them at conventions, which I will not be appearing at any time, probably in my lifetime now.
Mm-hmm.
How do I move those 900 copies to retailers?
Well, I'll buy more for the store, for one.
Do you want 899 copies?
I don't want that many.
Because I won't even unbox them. I'm just going to ship them right to you.
But I will up my order. So you could email other stores and be like, you know, I know it's cold emailing, but are they even
selling comics? How are comics being sold now?
Mail order, curbside is still, we're doing curbside, still a curbside.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So... people are doing it. They want new products right now.
All right. Maybe we can fill that gap. I'll be honest with you. To do a book, to self-publish through the direct market requires such an outlay of cash that I just hadn't planned for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And it's not that I don't love retailers or comic book stores. To me, they're church.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, I would have to I'd have to print up thousands in advance and then have to wait 6 months to get paid back from Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't have that sort of, I don't. The margins are thin here at Casa McNamara, at Polite Strangers headquarters. but to your point, like, I want Nocturnal Commissions to be discovered and found, and I would love it if a publisher wanted to pick it up and do it. Because, Greg, we want to build an audience for this, and I want to, you know, show Greg that he is not crazy for working with me.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I want to get him back. So, yeah, I would love to keep it going and keep doing it. But what might end up happening is that we just keep releasing like these standalone adventures.
Right. Which aren't bad either.
Not bad either. But if you're not coming out every month, you can't build like a long-term mystery.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of adapt your stories to how they're going to be released.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and Greg is in demand. Like, he's turning down better paying work to work with me.
Aww.
You know, so because he likes me. Idiot.
God, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, really. Get some self-esteem, buddy.
Oh. Well, we can talk more about... I have some ideas. We can talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Jacob. You got that game?
Yeah, I don't... It's not terrifically hard, but I did prepare some horror movie trivia.
What?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not hard. Like, you know, do you know this? He's you know who this is, right?
Yes.
I also have some holes in my oeuvre of like what I watch and what I do like. So there's some stuff I'm ignorant of.
Had I received that text earlier,
that's true. I should have. I kind of made him do this like last minute, so it might be my fault. it is my fault.
Let me show off.
So this is like a 15 question quiz, but a lot of these are really easy. I'll hit you. Okay, we'll just go in. What popular horror character has been portrayed in film by Christopher Lee, Gary Oldman, and Bela Lugosi?
That is Dracula.
That is Dracula. Very nice.
Mina. Gary Oldman's my favorite of those. Mina.
What is the name of the plant from Little Shop of Horrors?
Well, Seymour is the guy who feeds them.
Correct.
I forget. Is it Lucy or Lucille or Lucinda?
It would be Audrey.
Audrey.
Audrey 2.
Ooh, Audrey 2. Okay, that's one for me, one for you.
Okay, cool. Just told me to skip this one because it's about where Michael Myers got his mask.
he got it at the hardware store. where William Shatner shopped.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, don't even put that one in.
Please do. Right. I'll put it on.
I do love this question because people are always, oh, that's Shatner, sort of. Yeah, I think that's. Have they ever put him in a Halloween movie?
No, but Shatner is in a video saying, you know, I'm the face of Jason. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
That's great. What weapon does Sean wield for most of his zombie killing in Shaun of the Dead?
Oh, you know, it's a baseball bat, right?
Not quite.
Oh, is it like a rugby stick?
No, rugby doesn't have sticks. It's a cricket bat.
Cricket. It's some British thing. I don't know. I don't know what those limeys use. See, I'm bad at details.
Have you ever watched cricket?
No.
It's an incredibly complicated and confusing game that is more popular than every other sport in the world except soccer.
Yeah, I don't watch sports. Sure. Look, I was hired by the Golden State Warriors. I didn't know Oakland had a basketball team.
Oh, shit.
I lived in the Bay Area.
Well, when you got hired, they were terrible.
Yeah, they were bad until like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then they got all these fake fans. Sorry.
I don't work for them anymore. I was every year that I worked for them, they went to the finals. Coincidence?
You saved them.
I mean, I'll say that I'm definitely a bandwagon fan, and I have no shame about it. I only like things that are successful.
That's why you're talking to me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Yeah. Next up, Rocky Horror Picture Show writer Richard O'Brien played what part in the movie?
He's Riff Raff, isn't he?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. You're lucky, I'm lucky, the Bannister's lucky. I've seen that movie 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1935 horror classic Bride of Frankenstein, Elsa Lanchester played the bride and what other part?
Oh, I know it's a Frank Wales movie. I honestly don't remember.
She played Mary Shelley, the author of Frankenstein.
Oh, right, in the prologue. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mary Shelley had a crazy life.
Oh, yeah.
What
do I think about her? She was early, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for her.
Yeah.
You guys are killing me on this.
Okay. All right, good. I was worried these would be too easy. In Plan 9 from Outer Space, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. You haven't seen Plan 9?
I've seen Wood.
I am disappointed.
I mean, I may have seen it, like, you know, some late night thing 25 years ago when I was
It's alive. Fucking terrible, I mean.
Yeah, it's not something I can sit there. I don't like bad movies.
You don't like bad?
Well, yeah. I don't like intentionally bad movies. Like The Room, I can't sit through something like that. I just feel really ashamed and awkward for people, like embarrassed for people. Like, you thought this was working? This isn't working.
Well, did you see Disaster Artist?
I did.
Okay.
See, but I saw Ed Wood, which was about Plan 9. I saw Disaster Artist about The Room, but I don't want to sit through a bad movie. But I'll watch a recreation of a bad movie by real people.
Yeah. Like, the interesting thing about the bad movie is how did no one notice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what these, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, what is the plan? What is Plan 9?
Probably take over Earth, right?
Well, yeah, but like how did they plan? What is the actual plan they would use to dominate the Earth?
Zombies?
Yeah, that's it. Reanimating the dead.
Yeah.
Wow, they really should have.
Good job.
Spent a little bit more time on that. Someone who hasn't seen the movie can guess.
Well, you did see Ed Wood, and they do talk about it.
Okay. It's also been a long time since I saw that.
It's a great movie.
It is. That was his last good movie.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Wait, Tim Burton?
Tim Burton?
I think I fell off. I didn't see it. I gave up on him, I think, after Sleepy Hollow. I was like, fuck this guy. He's all art direction. When I break up with someone creatively, we're done.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't go back.
Never? Yeah.
No.
You're very stubborn.
I am super stubborn, yeah. It's true.
Sound like my husband. That in
I'm
common.
Not touching that.
No.
You're breaking up, Jessica. You're breaking up. Okay, Jessica Schneider. What's that?
Yeah, okay.
Ms. Schneider.
That's right. I'm 20 and I'm single.
Me too.
Moving on. Go, Jacob.
No, that one's too easy. Okay, I'll just do it.
Give me a mulligan here.
I know, right?
In Bram Stoker's Dracula, what is the name of the mental patient who falls under Dracula's thrall and is compelled to eat rats and spiders?
Oh, Christ. This was also in the BBC adaptation that just came out.
Yeah.
And you've read Dracula, I take it.
I have read Dracula. It's been a long time.
And this character is definitely in the Gary Oldman movie.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but he's...
Tom Waits plays him.
Does he?
Really?
Yeah, in Bram Stoker? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I just remember in the Buffy episode with Dracula, Xander gets turned into the Renfield.
Renfair. I was going to say Renfair. Yeah.
Renfro. Renfield, yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm terrible at details. You don't want me on your Trivial Pursuits gate. Like, I'm this bad at hard details.
All right, and then the last round, this is six questions, where I provide the premise of a horror movie, and you have to tell me the name of the movie or series and the name of the character that is the that I'm describing.
All right, I'm in.
All right, and they start off easy, but okay. A child killer is burned alive in a boiler room.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
Correct. After his serial killer mother is murdered, he seeks revenge at the same campground.
Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees.
Correct.
There you go.
Two teenagers share an identity, taunting girls with horror movie cliches and then killing them.
Scream. The poor man's Johnny Depp with his, Skeet Ulrich and the guy from Scooby-Doo.
I think you could just look in...
Yeah. Ghostface.
There you go. Ghostface.
Yeah.
Ghostface.
Although I did a question about this. What's the name of the like the name of the mask model? Because they found that on some like Halloween store website. Wes Craven is just like, oh, and I'll make a movie around this.
I think it's the Scream mask, right? Isn't it?
No, but originally it was just like Ghost.
Ghostface, right?
Yeah, but it was called something else. Just like, God, I can't remember now.
I gotta look. I'll
Phantom
look
Ghost or something. I know something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been some reference to the fact that it looked like Edvard Munch's The Scream, but maybe not.
That's what I was.
An extra-dimensional creature enters our world through a puzzle box and harvests human souls.
I have such wonderful delights to show you. That is Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, he's never actually called Pinhead.
No.
Nope.
Yeah,
he's just a Cenobite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those movies still scare me.
The first two are good.
Yeah.
First two are solid.
I've never seen them, but I have read the Wikipedia entry, and it made me nauseous, so I will not.
Clive Barker freaks me out.
Yeah, it's a crazy plot twist in there.
Yeah.
She's all, like, cheating on her husband with a skinless guy in the attic.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Jessica Schneider. You got skinless Tom Holland in the attic?
Oh, yeah, totally. We share deep thoughts every night. And by deep thoughts, I mean, I'm just kidding. No, not.
Skinless Tom Holland is the name of my new improv group. Moving on. A former
Jessica, you quarantine engineer. How you quarantine.
That's right. I deserve it.
There's no wrong way to quarantine.
This is vodka.
I'm sorry, Jacob, go ahead.
A former civil engineer forces others to appreciate their lives through trials.
Okay, I've never seen these movies, but I'm thinking that is the Saw movie, the Saw series, and the guy is, he's not Mr. Saw, but he would be the little guy on the bicycle, and Jigsaw is his name, right?
Because
they made Jigsaw. Yeah.
Okay.
Did they make a movie called Jigsaw?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Which is the only way I would have known. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, this one you're definitely gonna know the movie, but I wanted you to know the name of the creature. A demon enters a girl named Reagan and refuses to leave.
Okay, so the demon's name was not established in that movie, but it was established in the sequel, and it is Pazuzu.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is The Exorcist.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And my mother does indeed suck cocks in hell. Thank you for bringing up that awkward moment, Jacob. Too soon.
Too soon indeed.
Those were good. Thanks for putting those together.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm glad you enjoyed
it.
This one where I boned it on a bunch of those easy ones.
Audrey 2.
Audrey 2. Yeah.
Yeah. The sports question.
Sports questions. Yeah, cricket.
Cricket.
Yeah.
That's a more recent one. You're probably better at the older ones.
I get a real specific taste. I don't like watching movies where people suffer, like the Saw movies.
Yeah.
It's never appealed to me. Like stuff like where people, it's more like if there's like a hyper realism to the movie, like the John Carpenter ones, anything that has like its own, like The Hitcher. You ever seen The Hitcher?
Oh yeah, it's on Hulu or something right now. I was gonna watch it today later.
Actually. Yeah, it's a classic. It's great, but it creates its own sort of environment and reality, which I think is so much harder to do than just like sticking people in a cage and shocking their balls or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like, there's no art to that to me.
Yeah, I'm not a Eli Roth fan.
Yeah, I've never seen one of his movies, to be honest with you.
Ugh, they're awful.
Yeah,
that's one thing I really liked about Midsommar, the fact that it really felt like, you know, you're entering this place, but like it didn't feel like people were suffering. It just seemed, I don't know. I dug the hell out of it. I know that, Jess, you didn't like it, right?
No, I loved Midsommar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that was actually one of my favorite movies last year.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. It felt like you knew where it was going. But I like the pace of it, and it just felt like a lived-in world, you know?
Yeah.
It was really hard to do.
The cinematography was amazing in it, too. That, like, weird, crazy, bright lighting, but the contrast
movie with no darkness.
Yeah, exactly. Just in the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
When her family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, I could have spent more time there. But anyway, it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but it was good.
Yeah.
What is your favorite besides Halloween? Or what? Actually, recently, what is your favorite horror movie recently? Because there hasn't been really much good, I don't think.
It's been a lot of art house, like artsy, sort of like elevated horror stuff lately, which is all fine and good. I think the last movie that I really, really loved was, I saw The Invisible Man. I thought that was great.
That was great. Oh,
cool. Yeah, that was creepy as hell. Like, you sort of know what you're going to get into, and I'm a hard sell for remakes, but they found a good entry point to that to make it like a good horror movie is to say something about the time it was made in, right? That's a problem with remakes is you're taking this thing that was from an era trying to transport it somewhere else, and it's hard to do. Like the Halloween movies are hard to do, right? Because this idea of like you're safe in the suburbs, well, now we know we're not safe in the suburbs, but in the 70s like you're like this was like the Death Wish era of New York City, so you move to the suburbs and you'll be safe there, but like no, the boogeyman's still going to get you. You know those scenes where people are turning their lights off on Halloween and Michael's going down the street, like, your neighbors don't give a shit about you. You're not safe there. But just because someone's 20 feet away doesn't mean you're safe.
Right.
You're just as isolated there or anywhere else. But what I liked about the Invisible Man remake is they found an entry point to make it scary.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, like, you are all alone. Like, you are isolated and alone. And it's fucking terrifying. It spooks the shit out of me. So I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, and it was really apt to today, too.
Yeah, it says like, something about today.
Yeah.
It's not trying to just reproduce something from the 30s.
Right. And like the gaslighting and everything, like it really got to me because I've had obviously those experiences and I still think about it, which I think is very important. There's so many horror movies I've watched. Like one of my favorite things to do is on like a shitty day or if I actually have a day off, I'll just sit and like go through all of the horror movies that are on any of our streaming networks and I'll watch like three of them in one day. And most of them I forget. Instantly.
Sure.
But if I think about one over multiple days or weeks, I know it was good, obviously.
Yeah. I think with horror and comedy, Jacob, you can back me up in here. You feel the author's intent. Yeah. Right? So if you ever watch a horror movie, you can kind of tell like, oh, these guys don't like women very much. These guys don't like these people very much. And it becomes less about the story and more like the author punching down at people. Like we're going to stick it to the yuppies or we're going to stick it to these people or.
Yeah.
So I thought like something like Invisible Man, like the intent was really, really clear.
Oh yeah.
Like the author's intent was not to, they had something to say. They had a perspective and they didn't shy away from it. And you want that. You want a unique perspective and be taken to someone else's point of view briefly. I wouldn't want to spend all day in the Invisible Man. It's super uncomfortable.
Oh God.
But it gives you a taste of what like women go through.
Right.
And hopefully you walk away thinking like a little bit of a little bit of empathy for someone else's perspective. The best thing they did in that movie was not make it super clear in the ending.
Right.
And you're like, well, do you believe her or not? Which is like something you could ask every day. Do you believe her or not?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, really powerful. That they gave you a little bit, they involved the audience and not giving you all the answers. And that's what makes the story engaging, if you can find an entry point for the audience. Like, where is the audience fit in the story? Because we're all a little bit vain, right? We want to know, what's in the story for me? Where do I fit in?
Right.
And that story had a huge entry point for both sides, male and female, when I say both sides. So that was great. I liked that a lot. I watched it. I was like, wow, I wish I'd seen that sooner. But I think, like, the last other like movie I saw that's more maybe more visceral was I Saw the Devil.
Oh, that's a great movie.
The Korean movie. Yeah, that one was like, wow, mm-hmm. wowzers. That was really, really good. And that plays a lot of ambiguity of who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, and how you can really taint, like, we're not as good as we think we are. Mm-hmm. At least I'm not.
I feel the same way about House of the Devil.
Oh, that was good too.
Yeah, Ty West.
Yeah. A little slower.
Yeah, that's what I love about it, though. Yeah. It has that little slow, like, 70s pace to it.
Oh, like it reminded me of like The Changeling. You ever see that with George C. Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love. Yeah, he's good back then.
He's great.
Yeah, I like stuff like that. A ghost story, stuff that is supernatural. Like, it's hard to scare me, like, jump out and, like, I don't think the boogeyman's going to come stab me.
Right.
But if you can create, like, this atmosphere where, like, you're just on edge the whole time, that is such a great feeling.
Yeah, that's the best thing about horror movies, and that's what they don't do anymore, unfortunately.
It's hard to do it.
It is,
so
yeah.
So much easier to hack someone in pieces or stuff them in a cage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's the art in that.
I mean, I love a good monster movie. I have a weird thing about shark movies. I love a good shark movie. Yeah. There was that recent one that alligator movie that came out recently?
Oh, I hadn't seen it.
Crawl.
Crawl, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was super fun. Yeah. And, like, it wasn't like, oh, these are, like, monster sewage alligators. It was literally, like, there's a hurricane. There's thousands of alligators that, like, have just, like, been brought in by this fucking hurricane, and they're just eating everybody. That's all it was. And it was super fun. And I liked that. Like, there was no, like, nuclear explosion, and there's monster alligators coming in, and they're eating everything. Like, it wasn't like that. It was just, like, people getting eaten by alligators. I was like, hooray.
Go ahead. 47 meters down?
47 meters down. Same thing. But actually, I thought the sequel was better.
Really?
Yeah.
They made a sequel?
They made a sequel.
It was like, all right, you're giving me ideas. I'm teaching this week, but once my schedule opens up a bit, I want to catch up on some good horror. So I'll check those out.
Yeah.
With the crocodile one, I was in a writing class, like, I don't know, I want to say 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a guy in the class had that exact pitch.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was around the time of New Orleans. Maybe it was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just like the floodwaters brought in all these alligators, so they started eating people. So when they made that movie, I'm like, is it him? And I didn't recognize the writer's name. And I was like, oh, man, he got scooped.
Yeah.
Which happens. If you sit on an idea long enough, you get scooped. Mm-hmm. So you know my buddy Tony Talbert? We do a Sucker together.
Yeah.
Like, when I first met him, he had like all these kooky character ideas he wanted to do. And one of them was a cannibal that can eat your flesh and tell everything about your history and like tell your future.
Yeah.
And then, oh, shit.
Chew.
It was years before Chew.
Oh, no.
So he wanted to call it was Clancy the Clairvoyant Cannibal.
That's a very long title.
Yeah.
Harder to sell that title.
Yeah, he could take a bite out of you and be like, oh, this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. But the joke was always like, oh, here's your future. You've got to die. Like, I'm eating you, moron. Right. Here's your future. But, you know, the army gets them, and then they're like feeding them pieces of terrorists in a world of terrorists are.
Right.
It was a very different thing, but he slept on that idea. And sure enough, Chew came out and he was just drinking. He's like, have you heard about this hit comic, Chew? And I was like, man, if you sleep on anything long enough, you're going to get scooped. And it's not, no one's been stolen or ripped off. Like, there's only so many ideas and twists and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get there first. So I used somebody to. I'm sorry?
Yeah, like somebody will read the same books in the same order that you did and the things will just fall into. Like, this happens all the time with the comedy because people go, they stole my joke. They must have seen me do that joke. But then the joke is like, oh, man, you ever stub your toe? That sucks. And it's like, well, you know, plenty of experiences are relatable. But, yeah, you have to get it out there and get it to the level where someone else can't if you want to make it be your thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of that is just low-hanging fruit, you know? So
yeah.
I used to have this idea, and I never thought it was an idea worth putting in a book. But I used to always joke around, wouldn't it be great if there was just like – a loudspeaker would go off somewhere and they'd be like, okay, there's no law for the next hour. You can do whatever you want. And you could go get revenge on all your enemies. Wouldn't it be great? Like, we would all drop what we were doing and start running to go kill the motherfucker who like broke our heart or did something. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, you have an hour of no law. Wouldn't that be great? And I never did anything with it. I never thought it was an idea or a story there. And then The Purge comes out.
And it's a huge hit. You're like, motherfuckers.
But like, I only have myself to blame.
Right.
Because I never thought that was worth putting in a book.
I know.
I still don't.
Yeah.
So I want to watch a Purge movie because I'm butthurt.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, with my, I have my comic that we're still trying to get out, and I did read, there's a
just in, The Escapist will order 900 copies.
We will, huh? And I did see, it's not too similar, luckily, but there was like a web, like, show that had some similar plots, and I was like, uh-oh. Right. I gotta get that book out.
Dude, so I've been sitting on this story called this thing called The Cicada.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I know, that book is awesome.
And I've been sitting on it for, like, a long time, this idea of a supervillain or this evil person that comes. It's like a Zodiac killer that hits the same town every 13 years, right? Yeah. Like a cicada. I guess I don't watch the Green Arrow TV show, but I guess there's a character on that show now called the Cicada.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
So when I was, you know, Googling for reviews of this book, they're like, oh, this week on Green Lantern or Green Arrow, the Cicada. I was like, you motherfuckers. Yeah. I've been sitting on this thing for like 13, 14 years. I finally got it out. And now some show I don't watch. So I haven't heard anything from anyone, but also, like, I can't go up against Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So, Lord, what do you do? Again, like, that's on me. It shouldn't take me that long to get it out. So the Rattler came out, and just as the Rattler was coming out, there was a character in a Marvel book, and he was fighting a villain called the Rattler. And it was the Native American character.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't read the book, but I saw, like, in a solicitation copy, this week he fights the Rattler, and I was like, don't give him his own title.
Luckily they didn't.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Wait, Native American Marvel character with his own book? Are you talking about Red Wolf?
Yes, Red Wolf. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, I have good news for you. More people are in this Zoom call than read Red Wolf. So you're good.
Yeah.
I know, but I can't go against Disney. You know what I mean? Like, Disney could say they sued the Rocketeer guy. Because there were some villains that showed up in like two pages of a Daredevil comic called The Rocketeers. So you never know. So I don't want to be looking over my shoulder, you know, that's the thing.
But The Rocketeer came out like super long ago.
The Rocketeer came out like 1990, but in the early 80s or mid 80s, there was like a bunch of guys flied in into a Daredevil comic for like two or three pages and flew out, and they were called, "We're the Rocketeers."
Oh, Jesus
Christ. So Marvel did sue him.
Jesus Christ.
I think he won, but still, like, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight a legal
guy. Oh, of course not. Yeah.
I don't have hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm a dozenaire.
Fair.
Like, I have dozens of dollars. Dozens.
God.
So if you're looking to get married, Jess, half of my dozens could be yours.
Sweet.
Yeah. You can leave this call with six sweet dollars in your bank account.
Awesome. Definitely going to consider that.
Jessica Schneider could.
Okay, Jessica Schneider could. All right. She'll consider that. I'll get back to you.
Do it quick because my power's being turned off.
Oh, no. Cool. Jacob? No? Nothing?
Yes.
Hi. What? No. I was thinking you had any more questions.
Are you asking if I'll marry you? No, I'm out of curious.
Yes, I'm asking you.
Let me find a ring.
We've been through a lot together.
So we're all filing taxes together now, right?
Yes.
Good, because I need to drag someone else down.
Oh my God, let's not talk about taxes ever again.
This has been the best therapy call I've had in days. Just kidding. I had to fire my therapist. They cost money.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I keep getting those ads for like online therapy and they're like, we'll give you $100 off your first month. And I'm like, $100 off? How much does this cost?
It's not cheap. Yeah. I cured myself.
Yeah. I'm good.
Again, like halfway through the call, I'm good, guys.
I got liquor. All right.
Yeah.
Was that not part of it? Okay. I think this has been good.
Done. Awesome. Well, thank you for talking to me about my book. And
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys.
I'm going to miss you too. Yeah. I think this has been therapeutic. and we're going to get Nocturnal Commissions at Escapist. Oh, tell us, plug everything. Like, where are you from? Not where you're from.
Social media.
Where are you online?
Where am I from?
No, you're
my mother. We talked about this. We talked about The Exorcist.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Devil. You're from the devil.
You can follow me, you know, at Jason McNamara on Twitter, on Instagram, on Polite Strangers. And, you know, I'm an all right guy.
All right, guy. We'll have your book at Escapist soon. So, yay.
Jazz hands. When I do my classes, because everyone clapping is sort of cacophony. So we just jazz hands.
Jazz
hands for Escapist. Is there anything you guys want to plug? What are you guys up to? Jacob, how's comedy? Are you doing comedy from home?
No, I'm doing live trivias six times a week.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. People have been doing comedy over Zoom and whatnot. That sounds terrifying, and I'm not. Yeah. So, but no, I do quizzes on my Facebook page, Jacob Rubin Quizmaster.
He's a quizmaster.
This evening, I'm doing 6 p.m. Pacific time. It's Parks and Recreation. That's just for you, Jason. This will definitely not come out before that happens.
No, we're not.
I've never seen Parks and Recreation.
But Friday, I'm doing Tom Hanks trivia. That one's going to be
fun. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be big.
Yeah.
Because I figure.
Don't laugh.
I want to honor him before he becomes the savior of mankind.
They're
using his blood his mutant blood is going to save everybody.
I'm going to get Tom Hanks blood?
We're all injecting Tom Hanks blood. I'm going to snort it, but I think the idea is that we all inject it. But don't share needles, kids.
Yeah, don't share needles. Don't do that.
That's the one thing that Trump didn't say. Everything else was on point.
Oh, yeah, totally. Inject disinfectant and then Tom Hanks blood, but don't share needles.
Yeah.
Directly into your neck, into your jugular vein. Don't do that.
Do it between your toes.
Gentleman.
You're right.
So you can't see the check mark.
Yeah, until it's too late. Until that wedding ring is on.
Oh my God. What did you say, Jacob?
You want people to see the scar from your injecting Tom Hanks blood, especially if it's next to a scar where you injected Steve Zane blood.
My whole
left foot's going to be the cast of That Thing You Do.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It is.
Sure, it can't be Tom Waits' blood. Can we make it? Can we workshop this?
He's local.
I want Tom Waits' blood where I'm cured, but I talk like him for life.
I haven't plugged anything. Just come buy comics from me and beer at Ghost Town.
Yeah. Comics and beer at Ghost Town?
Comics and beer. Yeah. Well, comics at Escapist, beer at Ghost Town. You can order it online at ghosttownbrewing.com.
And you're allowed to bring the beer outside to the sidewalk?
Yes.
How do you cut someone off in that scenario?
What do you mean?
Like, how do I abuse that?
You've had too much. Give me your cheese.
They can't drink it there. They have to take it with them in their car.
Okay.
So you're telling me you haven't a single person just take a beer out of the bag and sit right down there on the curb?
We did last week, actually. They were across the street, so we couldn't say anything. And they had, they were, social distancing drinking. And, it was pretty bad. And we were like, guys, can we, go to the park down the street? And they were like, but, we're, going to buy more beer. And we're like, all right, whatever.
This was weird. I saw a guy chilling on the street, kind of by the grocery store, with a bunch of beer that he just bought. And he was putting it into a bucket of dry ice to chill it.
Just
right there on the side of the road. You just had there was all that dry ice steam and whatnot coming out. And he's just like, I just want to cool these beers down right now.
Where did he get the dry ice?
That is also a good question. I don't know. Safeway carries dry ice, I think.
They do?
Some of them.
Jess, if you transport organs, you've got dry ice.
That's my other job. I have three jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beer, and then he had a jar with a lit with a kidney in it, and he just put that in there.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Black market is hot right now.
Jesus, wow. Well, I have to go warn Tom Holland.
Yeah. That's our next Zoom call. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I will send this video to you.
Yes, please do.
Great.
This has been the Escapist Comics Podcast.
I'm Jacob Rubin.
Jessica Baldoni.
I'm still Jason. Thanks again
to Jason McNamara.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.